Show is about to begin.
And now for something completely different.
Come on, feel the noise.
I want to rock.
Let's get the rock out of here.
Damn straight.
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am.
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
One night in one American city. Multiply that by hundreds of cities and what have you got? A country where culture means pornography and slasher films. Where ethics means payoffs, graft, insider trading. Where integrity means lying, whoring, and intoxication. This country is in deep trouble, people. This country is rotten to the core and somebody better do something about it. Open your mouth and tell them what we're going to do about the mess this country's in. Talk radio. It's the last neighborhood in town. People just don't talk to each other anymore.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome to the Brad Westmar Show. We are here again doing another brand new show for you. Todd Sheets, if you're going to click your mouse, I want you to demouse yourself by demiking yourself. Your mouse clicking drives me absolutely...
I wasn't even clicking a mouse now. That was my chair.
I don't care. I can hear it. I know about that chair. I sat in that chair way too long a couple of weekends ago.
So you know.
But just be careful. Be careful.
Golly.
Matt, there's a lot of irony here. Before Todd comes to do the show, Todd has to feed the mice. He feeds all 9 million of his mices. And then he comes here for an hour plus and clicks his mouse like there's no tomorrow. I mean, he knows how to click a mouse, that's for sure.
He can't get away.
No, he loves his mice. Have you ever had mouse soup before, Matt?
Oh, I don't want anything to do with mice, period.
Really?
Period. I had one in my garage once. No, two. One dead one and one live one. That's as close as I ever want to come.
That is a perfect combination kind of for a nice little cup of mouse stew.
A cup of mouse stew?
A cup of mouse stew served at Red Robin. Nonetheless. Yeah.
You know what we'd wash that down with, don't you?
Pink lemonade?
A nice strawberry lemonade.
Strawberry lemonade, your favorite. Yes.
Don't fruit it up, Brad. It's not just pink lemonade. Strawberry lemonade.
I'm gonna gay myself up a little bit for you too here, if you don't mind. As my gay / lesbian / I'm confused assistant says at work, and you know we get some strange ones at work where I work because you know what kind of business I'm in. Where's that freaking? Hang on here. Horrible of me not to have that ready there.
Hello.
Okay.
It's your drug dealer.
So when I ever say something, hey, that's gay, she comes in and says, oh, that's so straight, because she thinks she's offended by me calling something gay, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
You're strawberry lemonade.
She's confused?
I don't know. I think she might be. She's 35, has a 8-year-old child, never married the guy, then was living with a girl, but she was a lot younger, and that didn't last very long. They were quote-unquote married, but I don't know that that really entailed a piece of paper or legal document necessarily. So that didn't last long. I don't really think she's confused necessarily. I think she may have been confused at least one night. So, you know. But, yeah, she calls everything straight when I call it gay. But in your pink lemonade, your strawberry lemonades were very close that time. And how many?
Those were butch.
Yes, those were.
Those were butch, yo.
Those were very butch. Hardly. But here's something for you, too. I have a new addiction, and it's probably not quite as fruity as strawberry lemonade, but it's a little bit. Maybe it's not a big deal to you, but to me it's weird because the addiction is just insane. I developed a new addiction for Diet A&W root beer.
Oh.
And not for you, eh?
No, I love it.
Do you? Okay, good. Diet? Yes. Diet too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the only pop I drink anymore. Well, except for when I go to a restaurant and you get nothing but Sprite. It's kind of your only choice. But other than that, yeah, Diet A&W root beer with some frozen yogurt. That's my new dessert of choice.
That sounds great. I've really wanted to make a float myself recently. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, you know, back in the day when I drank regular pop, back when I weighed 4,000 pounds, root beer would give me a stomach ache. In fact, when I was on the Big Dumb Fun Show back way, way back almost 10 years ago when they first started that show, we did a challenge with one of the guys on the show to see if he could drink two liters of root beer during the 3-hour show. And the reason you can't do that is because root beer has this yeasty thing going on with it that fills up your stomach. And he couldn't even get through the first one. But I'll tell you what, Diet A&W root beer, not the same. But back in the day when I was drinking root beer and drinking regular pop, I couldn't stand Diet A&W root beer. I thought Diet root beer was disgusting. Of course, I always thought all Diet Pop was disgusting until now. Now I can't drink regular pop, and I can only drink Diet Pop. And I think Diet A&W root beer is just fabulous. I couldn't believe how good it tastes. And here's the problem that I have, Matt. I'll drink some every night. The great thing about it is caffeine-free, so that's nice.
Yes.
And so it's a great nighttime drink if you want to drink a little bit before after dinner or something like that, or like you said, for a dessert or something like that. It's got this great vanilla taste, and it foams up like a mother, okay? So when you pour it over a glass of ice, this foam just does not stop, and I automatically migrate my mouth to the glass as the foam comes up. And my goal is to let that foam just come up and overflow and just let it flow into my mouth. And then the next thing I know, I have drank the entire glass because I drink the foam and then I just go, oh, just a little more. Oh, that is so good. Okay, just a little more. Oh, damn it. It's all gone already. So I pour another glass and I can't stop drinking this stuff. It's unbelievable.
I know. It's fabulous. It's fantastic.
It really is. I'm glad to find out that I'm not the only one who loves Diet A&W root beer. I can't believe we have that in common, too. It's crazy.
It doesn't surprise me.
Score one for Team Westmar Nation. I like that. I like that. And it's got that vanilla-y taste, the creamy taste to it. And I accidentally bought... Now, they also make Diet Cream Soda root beer that does have caffeine in it, and I have not tried that yet, but I did accidentally buy a regular cream soda root beer, and I did like that. I did drink some of that one day, but it was so filling and so sugary that I couldn't drink the entire thing. I just couldn't do it, you know.
I had a Coke Zero a couple weeks back for the first time in forever since we quit drinking pop, regular pop for the most part,
mm-hmm.
and it was so sweet,
yeah.
and I could barely finish it.
And it's amazing that a Coke Zero would taste that sweet to you when it has no sugar in it. But if you haven't drank pop in a long time, I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, definitely. So that was one thing I wanted to share today. I'm glad I got that off my chest early on in the show. It was in link to your pink lemonades, strawberry lemonades.
Well, now next time you come in town, I'll make sure I have the proper supplies on hand to make us some root beer floats.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
That is not gay at all. Drinking root beer floats together.
Not gay at all.
Just separate. Not out of the same glass.
As long as they're in the refrigerator next to some Sam Adams, I suppose that's okay.
We'll have to like alternate Sam Adams and root beer floats.
That would be filling for sure. But, hey, by the way, I wanted to let everybody know I will be joining Josh Hadley again on Lost in the Static here soon. I don't know when the episode's actually going to air because he records them ahead of time, but I know I'm recording this week and I'm looking forward to being on that show again. So when I do find out when it's going to air, I will let everybody out there know. Also, you know, I don't want to go overboard with discussion about the Boston Marathon tragedy. But as this is being recorded, there are some things that are going on, and there's a lot of misreporting going on in the news, apparently. And I had a tweet today that I thought was proper for two reasons. Number one, Matt, I finally began watching season 5 of 24. And mm-hmm. you had warned me that it starts off with a bang, and you were not kidding. Amazing. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody, so I won't spoil it. Even though it's 10 years old, I don't want to spoil it for anybody because I know that I got in trouble for spoiling Breaking Bad and stuff like that. So I'll just shut up. But I had 24 on my mind, And as I was reading this news about whether or not they had actually apprehended a suspect in Boston for the marathon explosions, and they did have somebody, then they didn't, and I started to imagine, well, this sounds like a 24 episode because I can see it now. You know, they arrest somebody, but they tell the press you can't report it, and some of the press go ahead and report it anyway, and then David Palmer puts his foot down and says, you did something wrong, and he gets mad at him, and then they retract, and they say, no, sorry, we made a mistake. Nobody officially apprehended. We screwed up. In the meantime, they do have somebody apprehended, but they don't want anybody to know that they've got a guy, because they are hoping to beat the tar out of this guy to find out who else was in on it with him before those guys find out they've got this guy so those guys can escape. See? So yeah. In the meantime, Jack Bauer has them like in the basement of CTU just beating the living tar out of him and maybe shooting him in the leg and then sticking his hand in the wound, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, I can just see this
breaking
going.
Breaking
his thumb, maybe cutting off a hand. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So I can see that, and I wish that was what was going on right now. But instead, we have all these right-wing whack jobs, which, again, you know, I don't want to put myself in the middle or on the right or on the left, but I'm telling you right now that people that are the conspiracy theorists right now that are crying for that this was an entire a false flag, this whole thing was a false flag, that our government actually did this on purpose, I mean, you're giving the right side a bad name. You're the reason why right and left exist, because there are whack jobs on the left and there are whack jobs on the right, and it's just, this whole thing is so muddy, and it doesn't need to be a political issue. It just doesn't need to be a political issue. Do you think, Matt?
No, I completely agree. I went on a huge rant this morning to my wife, who unfortunately was there when I read this, about when I read that Jay Moore was blaming guns and the Second Amendment for this deal. And I'm like, these, honestly, and it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on or which side of the aisle some of these people on, they will use anything to further their political views. Anything, whether it's this deal or school shooting or shooting of the politician in Arizona a couple years ago, people will use anything to further their agenda. It just makes me sick.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, and given the situation of what happened on Monday, the last thing we need to do is turn this into a political war. And I mean, I know a lot of people are scared that this is going to turn into another war. I mean, let's just wait and see. I mean, the most important thing to me as a human being and an American is to find these guys, and let's do something with them. Now, if you want to get political, the politics come in as to what you do with somebody like this, because if you find a guy or four guys or whatever it might be that created these bombs and planted these bombs, you know, you can have left wingers who are going to say, hey, you know, put them in prison, or, you know, let's slap them on the wrist.
Give them a fair trial
and yada, yada, yada. And then you got the right wing guys who say, you should put them in a pressure cooker and let them, you know, and kill them the same way they hurt these people and killed these people. And that is honestly, if you... Look, I don't mean to get political here, but if you look at those two different versions of what to do with somebody like that, I am shocked at the left in a situation like this. I mean, I don't know how you can have that much compassion for somebody that had absolutely no compassion for anybody else's life. It's just weird to me.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
So my initial reaction is to want to, you know, cut the guy's hand off. I mean, I'm all for ultimate terrorist fighting. I think that what they should do is, you know, I tweeted yesterday or Monday, I said, I would love to fight a terrorist mano a mano. Just me and the terrorist, no weapons, no bombs, no guns, no box cutter knives, just you and me. Let's get together and let's duke it out and let's see who kills who first. Because have you ever looked at a terrorist? I mean, think of all the terrorists you've known. Think about Timothy McVeigh. You know, think about these guys at 9/11. All the pictures you've seen of these guys. Do any of them look like they could kick my ass?
No.
Or your ass?
No. Definitely not.
No, these guys are giant grade A pussies. They have
why they do what they do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'm all for ultimate terrorist fighting. We've got ultimate fighting. Let's do ultimate terrorist fighting. Let's put average Joes like you, me. How about Todd Sheets? He looks like a weak knee weenie. Let's put Todd Sheets in a ring with a terrorist. No guns, no weapons, just the two of them going at it. Hand-to-hand combat. I would pay for that. I would pay to see. Wouldn't you pay to see that?
Oh, I'd pay more to see him in the ring with like a real fighter, Brock Lesnar, right, or somebody like that.
That's
or
true.
Some big UFC fighter and see what they could do to him for, give him 5 minutes.
But I agree with that. That if you really want to go out, that's great. I think that the thing that's cool about putting somebody like me or you in there is that it's like America doing it. And don't get me wrong, Brock Lesnar is, you know, all about that too. But you know he's going to kill this guy because he's going to kill you, me, and Todd all at the same time if we go in the ring with him. You know?
Just by looking at us.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But if we put you in there with this guy, with this terrorist, okay, America is going to be more behind you. And there's a chance, Matt. Now, there's a chance you could lose because you're just Matt. You're just a $170 soaking wet. Okay, $160.
Well, thank you.
Whatever,
well,
whatever you are soaking wet.
I'll take a $170.
Okay, $170 soaking wet. You know, there's a chance you're gonna lose to Amhihohi Aribam Abdullah. You know, you never know. So that's why I'd like. Yeah. I doubt it. I doubt you're gonna lose. Don't get me wrong. Okay.
No, right.
But you know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. It's just what you're saying. It's a. It's just a commentary to the cowardice of what they do.
Yeah.
You know, and they could never handle somebody like that. That's why they, you know, bomb people, or they'll take over you know, an airplane where they have to overpower just a stewardess and things like that. So
yeah,
and that's just the way they roll, and you'll never ever be able to reason with people like that, and unfortunately it's probably only going to get worse.
Yeah, well, it's true too, and that's unfortunate. I do think though that there's got to be a common compromise somewhere. Okay, if you are the left side and you want to make peace and smoke weed and give everybody a great chance at rehabilitation, like there's any possibility of that at all, or you're like the total right wing guy who just wants to chop off their arms, their legs, and you know, make them walk around, you know, Boston for the rest of their lives in a circle until somebody kills them. You know, that you can do something like that. Think of the nastiest way you could punish this person without actually killing them, or maybe just killing them in the most ugly way. Okay, so you got these two extremists. Okay, if you meet somewhere in the middle, I'm thinking that it has to be somewhere in the middle, like maybe where we put these people in a rocket ship and we send them off into outer space in this thing that it's on a mission to nowhere. It just, we get rid of them. There's no prisons. There's no death. Because we don't really know what happens to them. We send them off on a rocket ship into outer space, into the Milky Way, into a black hole. You know, maybe they end up on the Death Star. I don't know. But they go out there, and we never see or hear from them again. And their destiny is all about whatever happens beyond the stars. But we've gotten rid of these people. We don't have to worry about them escaping. We don't have to worry about them getting, you know, off scot-free. You know, for some technicality in the trial, there is no trial. We just send them away on a rocket ship because they were in the area. Let's just not look. It's obvious. These people, this person can cry patsy all he wants to, but this person, we know this person did this. Let's just send him off on a rocket ship and let President Palmer be the one who decides. Wait a minute.
You know, I'm all for, you know, a Jack Bauer type of a punishment for him, or dealing with him the way that my new favorite primetime superhero, Ryan Hardy, from The Following deals with people.
Yes.
Just shoot him.
Yeah.
You know, they're clearly a bad guy. They're clearly no good to society. So just shoot him. Every week he shoots at least one person.
He does. And every week the FBI seems to fail and fall a little bit shorter.
Are they dumber? Okay, you've watched enough 24 now.
Yes.
The FBI on The Following, who's more inept? The FBI and The Following,
or CTU.
Or CTU.
FBI, no doubt. FBI. The CTU, literally, barely. But CTU at least learned something over those seasons, okay? And the FBI so far is getting worse in season one. I don't know what their problem is. Do you agree, or are you not sure yet?
No, I agree.
Yeah.
We used to make fun of CTU all the time. But now there's like once every episode, I'm throwing my head back and going, what are they doing?
I know.
But honestly. It's not like they're getting outsmarted by the world's smartest terrorists, like you know, the guys on 24.
Right.
They're like just ordinary crazy people in this cult that they're getting outsmarted by.
That is a very good point too. And also, by the way, Joe's wife, seriously, you're gonna stab him in the abdomen? I mean, you really couldn't have gone for the heart? You had
to
go
the neck.
How about the neck? You couldn't go that low. You had to go that low. You couldn't, I mean, seriously?
Yeah, she didn't even, like, prison shank him. She just, like, stabbed him once.
Yeah. I mean, ask Todd Sheets. Todd, I know how to stab somebody if you want to kill him. You stab him in the back. right? That's what you do, Todd. You stab him in the back. He's got his mic off. He's not paying attention. He probably has his headphones off right now.
I am listening, but I don't. I don't. I've never tried to stab anyone, so I don't know.
Okay, he didn't get that. It went right over his head. Right over his head. You'll understand in May when you come here, Matt. Never mind.
Okay.
So, Todd's not listening. Todd, you are off the show until we play Jesse versus Jesse, which we'll talk about here a little bit later. So, all right, that's going on. I told you about Diet A&W Root Beer. I told you about being on Lost in the Static. Give you some thoughts on 24 and maybe sending people away on a rocket ship. I got one more thing here before we take our first break, Matt. I thought you might appreciate this. In conjunction with talking about gay women, okay? Gay women are called what, Matt?
Lesbians.
Dykes, no. Lesbians, yes. Yes, they are called lesbians, yes. And I have here top 10 stupid questions people ask lesbians. I found this on New Statesman, newstatesman.com. It's a section called Les Miserable, which is, of course, a little play on words with Les Mis. So it says here, if you're a woman who fancies women, I guarantee you will have rolled your eyes at some of these idiotic queries. Let's see here. Number one, would you sleep with a man if he was really, really hot? They say here, I can appreciate an attractive man like I can appreciate an attractive coffee table. I can look at it and say, my, that's one mighty fine piece of carpentry. But I don't want to wake up next to it and make it post-coital poached eggs. So the answer is no, apparently, unless you're my assistant. And maybe the father...
Unless you're confused.
Right. Maybe the father of her child turned her gay. Wouldn't that be awkward? That would make me feel bad. I would feel bad if I had a long-term relationship with a woman.
This is Amy, if you don't remember who I am.
And after she left me, she went gay. That'd be
You'd
weird.
You feel bad about that?
No.
Yeah, that's no. Kind of a real slap.
No, in fact, I've had some questions about her in the past myself, but different story. Sorry, I'll stop right there because she's not here and does not have a chance to defend herself. I don't want to make the left wingers mad. So this is about as political as we get. Number two, Matt, here's another question that lesbians probably get tired of. So what do you actually, you know, do? Yes, so the response is, well, it all begins with something we lesers like to call the joining of the lunar essences. We hold hands, look deeply into each other's eyes, and harness one another's erotic energy. Next comes an elaborate tea drinking ceremony. Between sips of Lapsang Souchong, we name our favorite pre-1927 feminist poets. If we agree on more than three, we can move on to the binding of the goddess egos. Seriously, though, if you need to ask what two women do in bed, you have no imagination or internet access, apparently. So, there you go.
I was going to say, yeah. Aren't there, like, videos that would pretty much cover that?
I think there are. Number three, why are you all so obsessed with cats? They say, because they're great. Next question. Number four, are you all feminists? Well, the good ones are, they say. But, you know, all the good men, carrots, and dogs are feminists, too. But lesbians, like other humans, come in all shapes, sizes, and political persuasions. No, we're not inherently feminist. Some lesbians aren't too fussed about the sisterhood. Some lesbians read nuts, unironically. And, as porn has taught me, some lesbians are Nazis. And, incidentally, not all feminists are lesbians. Turns out, you can shag men and still believe in gender equality. Who knew? But I got to tell you, that one feels pretty firm, if you ask me. I mean, yeah. Lesbians, never mind. Love you, lesbies. Okay, number five, have you listened to the new Tegan and Sarah album?
Who?
Tegan and Sarah?
I don't know apparently who they are. Lesbians.
Kind of like the Indigo Girls. I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's what I understand.
There you go. Number six, my boyfriend and I are thinking of having a threesome. Do you want in? Yay. They say, this is a question I'm asked pretty regularly by women on online dating sites. While I'm ever so flattered to be chosen as a conduit to a couple's first taste of menage, I can think of a few things I'd rather do than titillate a bisexual girl's boyfriend, like drink an entire bottle of shampoo. Yeah, I'd rather do that. Number seven, My mate's sister's personal trainer is a lesbian. Do you want her number? They go on to say, I don't know what she liked. Do we have anything in common? Is she into stubby Semites who spend a disproportionate amount of time Googling the symptoms of rare diseases? It's an insulting misconception that a lesbian will automatically be interested in any other lesbian, available lesbian. Okay, sure. We regularly get drunk and sleep with our friends. That's different, though. Gin is involved. So much gin. Lesbians love gin. Plus, our friends are hot. Okay, well written, though. Number 8. What's the deal with strap-ons? Are you trying to be men?
Oh, my gosh.
Firstly, there's a lot more to lesbian sex than strap-ons. Again, use your imagination and or the internet. In fact, many of my people find them ridiculous and unnecessary. I once went to a sex shop with a friend who was looking to buy her first one. She insisted on trying it on, over her jeans, of course, and after a few minutes of fumbling with the harness, the absurdity of helping to attach a rubber C-word to my mate began to sink in. But there are, of course, gay women who love using strap-ons. And no, they're not trying to be men. They're having sexy, fun times appropriating masculinity. There's a big difference. So there you go, Matt, in case you were wondering.
I wasn't.
Neither was I. Number 9, you call yourself a dyke. Why can't I call you that? Right. Spend 15 years trying to figure out who you are while panicking about whether your friends and family will accept that person. Have entire sections of society discriminate against you, and douchebags you went to school with ask you a ton of stupid questions. See this article. Discover what it feels like to be devalued and ridiculed in mainstream media and politics. Done all that? Then you can call me a dyke. Maybe. And finally, number 10, did you have to chop off your hair when you came out? And she responds, I have a bona fide jufro that grows outwards rather than down. Having short hair is a lot easier for me. Shocking as it may be, I didn't chop off my mane because of lesbianism. Some women happen to look good with short hair. Deal with it. And there you have top 10 stupid questions people ask lesbian. Matt, any questions?
Oh, I think that about covers them all.
Now, which reminds me of one more tweet that I did before we take a break. I did that recently after I watched this week's episode of The Following. I tweeted, anytime The Following wants to kill off Emma would be fine by me. Do you hate her or what?
The house skank.
Oh, God. Any scene, seriously, any scene she's in, I drop my head down to my iPad and start doing something else. It's like, really? It's boring.
The best scene was when Joe's wife tried to kill her.
It was, and I wished it would have happened right there.
I wish she could have pulled it off.
It would have been
because
nice.
Because she's the worst.
Stab her in the stomach and go right through her, you know? But
yes.
Why not? I mean, who do you hate more? I mean, now that she's gone, you can't hate her, but when she was on, do you hate Emma more, or did you hate, what's her name, Lori? What was her name on Walking Dead? Was it Lori?
Andrea.
I'm sorry. You hate Andrea Moore?
That's my answer.
Andrea
yes.
Moore. Okay. Yeah.
She was the worst.
Yeah.
She ruined this. Their infatuation with like making her a main character ruined the second half of this last season.
You're probably right. And you've also confirmed with me, which, I have put into my calendar, Breaking Bad back on the air for the last half of the last season, which, let's be honest, it's just the last season. It's the last 8-episode season. And it will start August 11th here. So almost a year we've gone, I think, without an episode of Breaking Bad. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was last fall, September, October, maybe?
Something like that.
I think it was.
That's when it ended.
Yeah. So it's been almost, it will have been almost a year by the time we get to see another Breaking Bad episode. And you also mentioned, and I can't for the life of me remember if we mentioned this on the air or not, but we texted back and forth today about it. And I did say to you at one point or another that I thought they should come out with a Talking Bad version of
Talking Dead.
Of The Talking Dead. They should do Talking Bad.
Is the Breaking Bad version of, yeah.
Yeah, and, right. and apparently they are doing that now.
Yep, they're going to do it. They don't have a host yet or anything, and I probably won't watch it, but they're going to do it anyway.
And I probably won't either, because I think when you and I talked about it, we discussed that it wouldn't be... I never watched Talking Dead either. I don't really want to talk about these shows afterwards. I don't want to do that, really.
Well, you know, I don't mind if they've got people from the show on there, which they do once in a while for the Talking Dead. And honestly, the only one I've watched start to finish was when Lou was on there.
Yeah.
The rest of them, I've watched bits and pieces of it. I don't care, like, what so-and-so that's a character on Mad Men or another TV show. Or they had somebody from that, what's that, HBO vampire show? True Blood. They had an actor from True Blood on there talking it. And I don't care. Honestly, I don't care what he thinks about The Walking Dead. So if they have, like, Daryl on there or somebody like that, I'll watch it. But
right.
Other than that.
I agree. And that's why I'm not really that intrigued by Breaking Bad doing that either. But that's okay. Whatever. Anyway, August 11th, Breaking Bad comes back. So if you're not caught up, get caught up now because it's coming here later this summer. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we got a couple of things to do before we end the show. One of the things is we're going to go over my Twitter archive. Matt has perused it a little bit. And the first thing you said before we started the show was, holy crap.
It's a lot of tweets.
A lot of senseless tweets in there, too. So let's take a break, Todd, and we will be right back.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
Good evening, people. This is G-O-D God. You know, creator of all. And I'm here to tell you tonight about... Wait a minute. I'm getting a prayer text message. I really love these new smartphones. I've got this app on mine that transfers all prayer requests into text messages. Looks like this one is from Brad Westmar. Again. This guy is praying to me all the time. This one says, please fix Skype and the voicemail issue. Not a chance. So anyway, tonight I'd like to tell you about... Hey, damn it! It's from Westmar again. Please don't push back the release of the iPhone 5. What do I care? I'm using an Android phone. See, this is never ending. It says, please kill Dion C. Warwick. Are you kidding me? She's such a nice lady. How can anyone not like her after she took the time 25 years ago to tell the world what friends are for? She was one of my vehicles of communication between... Oh, come on already. Please help me find a job I'm good at. Wait a minute. That one's from Roger Goodell. As you can see, eternity is a mighty long time for the omnipotent. I suppose I better get back to work. Until next time... Son of a...
It's not the length that matters. It's what you do with it. The Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. Matt has just named our co-autobiography. Would you like to tell people what it's going to be called?
Yes, I would.
Go ahead.
Root beer floats and bro hugs.
There's nothing ridiculously weird about that.
Gay.
Not at all.
It's not awkward.
No.
Or off-putting in any way.
This weather has been awful. We're in the middle of April. Disgusting.
We all last week we got our soccer games scheduled or rained out / snowed out. We were able to sneak in Ava's first game last night.
Okay.
And I think tomorrow night's game will probably get canceled.
Does Ava still play herdball or is it more soccer like now? Because I don't know if we called it that last time, but that's what they call 5-year-old and 6-year-olds playing soccer. It's herdball.
Right? Well, you know, I'm going to brag a little bit.
Uh huh.
Because she is. I have a pretty good team this year, but most of them do kind of play herd ball.
Uh-huh.
But she looks like a soccer player out there. I mentioned that last night. She makes soccer moves. She made the one pass of the whole night last night. She scored a goal.
Great.
She plays defense. She's watched her older sister play a lot.
That helps.
And, and a lot of this club soccer. So she's seen a lot of good soccer. So she actually plays soccer. She looks like a player out there.
Good for her. You know, she might need to teach my daughter something because mine's a little bit scared to get into the crowd. She can do some fast breaks, you know, but she slows down. She's got short legs. It's amazing. You don't really realize how your daughter compares to others that are maybe a year older because she's playing with 5 and 6. Well, under 6, but some of them are in kindergarten, see? So she's playing with people that are actually a year ahead of her in school, and she's like the shortest one out there all the time. And I was like, really? I mean, because to us, she looks big. you know?
Yeah.
And then you get her out there against all these other kids, and you're like, man, my kid is short, and her little short legs just, she just gets pooped out, you know? And she just has a, kind of has a hard time taking control of the ball from someone else. And so, but it's her first organized sport. So we're giving it a chance, you know.
It takes some time. Did they play with boys too?
No, thankfully we're doing just girls. So
just girls. See, we don't have that option. So she has to play. It's boys and girls at our age group.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised how that's where having an older sister that you can kind of got roughed up by a little bit helped because I thought she'd be afraid to stick her nose in there with the boys, but she really has been pretty good about that.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear it. So, yeah, we're playing herd ball. You're playing soccer, but someday we'll play soccer too. So
she'll get there. Give her time.
I'm giving her time. I'm patient. I got no issues with that at all. So, but what
And she'll be a pretty – I think she'll be pretty tall by when time it's all said.
Yeah, probably will.
You guys are not short people.
Yeah, I'm not too – well, my wife is a little bit shorter than I am by a foot or so. But
well, yeah, but she's not like super short. She's average height.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. That's true. Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm not too worried about the height either. I'm not – it doesn't bother me. It's not – whatever height she is what she is. It's good. I'd rather she was, you know, 5'5 or 5'6 rather than, you know, 6 foot like some women that I knew in this, because they're kind of, you know, they're Amazon-ing.
This is Amy, if you don't remember who I am.
So, but anyway, hey, why don't you give me a few thoughts about what you've seen in my Twitter archive. I've actually downloaded it, but I've not really perused it the way you have. I know there's some embarrassments in there. It took me a while to learn how to tweet, you know?
Well, you know, this spreadsheet that you put it on.
Yeah, well, actually, it comes that way.
Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. When the spreadsheet was developed, this thing has 16,284 lines to it. That is nuts, man.
But think how big, you know, the fake Neds is. Think about Chris Kamler's. Think about Brandon's. You know, I mean, Brandon has like twice as many tweets as I do. I mean, it's amazing. My buddy. He has about 1/8 the amount of followers because more than half of his tweets are garbage. But he's got twice as many. He's got 32,000 lines, you know?
Well, hey, did you see I posted something on Twitter today?
Did you retweeted something I did. I know that.
Yeah, that counts, right?
I sort of.
All right. I was on.
I guess.
I'm on the scoreboard today.
You're awful. But you're
kind of over Twitter, dude.
Your Twitter archive came in like a little little text file. It's like one
line.
You
know, like. Yeah, you could put it on the screen of your iPhone.
Exactly.
All right there.
Exactly. So what did you learn here while we got a few minutes, Matt?
Well, I was really interested to see what tweet number one was for you.
Oh, God. It was awful. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to properly twit or twat. No, that's not right. But why tweet equals lame-o. But it gets better.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. What was the date on that tweet? Is there a date there?
There is.
Yeah.
Hold on, by the way,
that tweet was just awful.
That was June 11th, 2009. Twitter's that old? Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Twitter's been around since 2000, at least 2008. Probably, yeah. Yeah.
That's got to be I don't know if that date's right, because then it jumps you up. It says you only did like...
Oh, I did. That was awful. I didn't do much tweeting right away.
Like for a year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was awful.
It was like four tweets, and then a year later, then you went crazy.
Yeah, because my Twitter name back then was Cheese Stands Alone or something like that. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Back then, people were tweeting nothing. I mean, Twitter was not what it is today back then. So, yeah, you're right. I didn't tweet for a long time. So go ahead and give us some idea of the jumps and stuff. I'm not sure. Go ahead. I'll let you continue.
Well, then your last tweet of 2009 was... Sure wish I was sleeping, but need to stay awake for a big workout a little later on today. My followers look like spam. Are you peeps real?
There was a lot of spam. Yeah.
And then you jump back on a year later, and then you went, tap, tap, is this thing on? And then you started to talk about Nebraska.
Oh.
Wait, no, Big 12 handles Nebraska. Yeah, you're talking about Nebraska. I guess then they were still in the Big 12.
See, and
it's been that long?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. See, and that was before this show started, because this show didn't start until January 2011. And so I was in between shows in 2009 and 2010. See?
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's another one. And this one is interesting. This was in June of 2010. You wrote, new stuff at the magic pill from yesterday includes before and after pics of yours truly. And then there's a link to a picture. I don't know if I want to see that picture. I don't know what the magic pill is you're talking about.
It's funny you say that because I remember now, I first began to use Twitter and first began to gain followers for weight loss, exercise, eating, and stuff like that. I started a blog that didn't last very long, and I started to gain Twitter followers from that. So back when I first started to get really heavy into Twitter, it was more about health and about exercising and about weightlifting and about eating and stuff like that. So eventually a lot of those guys cleared out. I've still got a few of them following me, but for the most part, they've all kind of cleared out, I think. Or they're still following me but still like my tweets. I don't know. But have you clicked the picture?
No.
It's okay.
No, I don't want to.
Okay, you don't have
to.
I'm
afraid.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. But that's
it would require me to copy and paste.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that.
I understand. And I will tell you that the magic pill was just the name of my blog. So
that's okay. All.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't last long. It's still there, but I don't do anything with it anymore. So
interesting. Yeah, I didn't even know you did that.
I was trying to find my niche, but that was not it.
No. Yeah. Well, you did write one too later on that month. This just in, trains still suck. Of course, living in Sioux City, Iowa. Anyone here can appreciate that.
I guarantee you should count. If you could go through all those tweets, you could count all the times I bitched about trains. I'll bet half the tweets are about trains. I hate them. Happens all the time, so I can relate.
And I was reading one earlier today, and I've lost it now. But something about you hating showers on the weekend because they make you tired.
Oh yeah, I still bitch
showers
about
showers on the weekend make you tired.
It's the strangest thing. Yeah, it was worse back when my kid was younger and I wasn't getting as much sleep and stuff. But it happens a lot to me. For some reason, I'll like get up in the morning, I'll drink coffee, I'll eat breakfast, I'll hang out with the kid, I'll do this, I'll do that. And then next thing I know, it's 11, 12, 1. I decide maybe I better take a shower. Well, by then, I'm kind of on the second leg of my tour, and I'm getting kind of tired. I'll take a shower, I'll wake up. And maybe it's because I take too hot of showers. I don't know, but it does just the opposite for me. It makes me sleepy half the time. It does. It's weird. I don't know.
Wow.
My wife says the same thing. What's your problem? I said, I don't know. I'm just a tired guy, I guess. I don't know. You know.
You're so relaxed. Maybe you need to take cold showers.
Maybe I should try a cold shower. I just can't stand the thought of water that's not fairly warm on my body. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
Here's a I found a rather well, evidently it was an NFL season. Because you made a tweet ripping on Philip Rivers, then one ripping on calling him a sissy, throwing like a sissy.
Yes.
Here's Ben Roethlisberger is fat and dumb.
Yes.
And ugly and rich.
Yes.
And then here's one. This is right after the Greinke trade. You called Kansas City Loserville.
Oh.
Congrats on being shipped out of Loserville, Mr. Greinke. Signed Mr. Beltran, Mr. Dye, Mr. Damon, Mr. Affelt, Mr. Sweeney, etc.
Well, of course I was being facetious. You know, I was just pretending that that's what all the other guys that have left Kansas City would call Kansas City, Loserville, because they never win anything, and all the good players must leave Kansas City to have a chance at winning anything. That was the intent of that tweet. So,
but you know, looking back on it, the Royals made out pretty good in that deal.
Yes, they did make pretty good on that deal. Does Escobar actually have braces? I favorited a tweet yesterday from somebody about that. Does he actually have braces, or does it just look like he has braces? Do you know?
I don't know. Are they? I always assumed he had them, but then I'm like, maybe they're like gold teeth or something.
It's really bad teeth. Yeah, I can't really tell. I don't know. But just wanted to throw that in there via the Zach Greinke trade. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's one in this is like after you've been at it for like 6 months in 2010.
Okay.
You made the declaration of I've made a decision to come out today and let everyone know the truth about me. I'm gay for Twitter. Now it's official. Carry on, everyone.
I was. You could tell that I kind of turned a corner there, I think. Definitely. You know, one of my favorite tweets on there, actually of all time, wasn't one of mine. It was one from this is a classic. I mean, it's such a classic, and most people that aren't from Kansas City aren't going to get this, but there's a local sports radio host here who is in the afternoons on one of the stations, and he really thinks he's a cool guy, and he loves himself quite a bit, and he's kind of one of the guys that just likes to talk really loud and jump up and down and scream and say stupid things to get people to recognize him. And he tweeted one time, probably around 2009 or 2010, he tweeted once, during a Packers game that was on late afternoon. He said, Packers coach, it was something like this, and you'll probably see, I don't know, does this thing show retweets? Do you know?
No, you got?
Yeah.
No.
No. Does it show anything that I retweeted?
Oh.
Probably not.
Doesn't look like it.
Okay.
Wait. Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, you might be able to eventually find this one when you go through it on occasion. Not that I expect you to sit down and have this as your bedtime reading material, but you could find this one where he said, he tweeted, Packers coach, how do you say it, will be the reason they will never win, or something like that. He was talking about Mike McCarthy. It said something. Okay. Packers coach basically said Packers coach made some dumb decision. He's the reason the Packers will never win anything. Well, later that season, the Packers won the Super Bowl. So I made sure that I continuously, I went back in that guy's Twitter feed and I found that thing and I kept retweeting it and kept making fun of it. Nobody got it. Nobody understood because the tweet was like 6 months old, you know, but it was so funny because I knew it. I remembered it. And for some reason, I don't know why I remembered it, because I'm not a Packers fan. I'm not a McCarthy fan. You know, I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan, for lack of a better way of saying it, you know.
Gay.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen when somebody comes out and it's some superstar and he comes out and he's gay? What's going to happen?
Nothing.
You're right. But what if it's a quarterback? What if it's a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Nothing. You're right. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Never mind. But back to that. So I've always remembered that tweet because he was so wrong. That was a prime example of tweeting something dumb. Just don't, because somebody's going to remember it. And whether or not anybody else remembers it, I remember it, and it counts. So,
you know, and that is my big hang-up with Twitter. And I said this to Stacy yesterday when we were talking about it. I'm like, you know, I just don't care what average Joe somebody says about a game I'm watching or anything, for that matter.
But I'm not average Joe.
No, I don't care if it's someone I know personally, that's different.
Right.
But what drives me absolutely crazy is when, like, the NFL Network or ESPN or some other sports program I'm watching has to go on there and says, Chiefs fan 647 says, yo, Matt Castle, da bomb, or something like that. You know, they throw in stupid things like that. And I'm like, I really don't care what this guy has. Tell me what Mortensen has to say, or tell me what Schefter has to say. Tell me what someone with in the know is going to give me some knowledge about something. Make me smarter about the game I'm watching. Don't tell me what some guy sitting on the couch in his mom's basement thinks about Matt Castle.
I completely agree. I totally agree with you. And I got to tell you one thing. Don't change your tone as I'm saying this right now, okay? But I got to tell you something that's pretty funny right now. And I just want to keep your tone the same. I just keep talking. I don't want to mention any names or anything, but there's somebody right now who's not paying attention in the studio. And I got to tell you why he's not paying attention in the studio right now, okay? Oh, no, he just woke up. Never mind. He was sound asleep. I'm not kidding you.
Was he really?
I should have taken a picture before I woke him up. I knew it was going to happen.
I'm just waiting for you to allow me to be a part of the show.
You're going to be a part of the show here very shortly. Very, very short. He was asleep, Matt.
It's kind of a Diet Todd night.
There's nothing wrong with that every once in a while. Do you think?
I don't see a problem with it.
I mean, you know.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
I was ready to play this to see if it would wake him up, you know.
Oh, hello, dear.
I could have done this and see if he'd wake him up that way. But anyway, Matt, a couple of more real quick here. What else you got on your list there?
Here's a disturbing one. Okay. This one is from, let me check the date. Oh, this is New Year's Day, 2011.
Oh, my favorite day.
I can't wait till my daughter has to wipe my ass. Hashtag fatherhood. There's Father of the Year tweet for
you. There you go. Yes, that was right before we started this show, actually. Yeah, about a week or so before we started this show. In fact, I think I was at my mom's place during that. And yeah, cool. So soon after that, I think you'll be seeing some Brad Westmar show tweets. Maybe.
There's some. There's plenty of stuff in here.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I don't want to cut you short. What else do you have? I mean, do you have anything else right now? If you got more, go ahead.
You know, if I could go all day with this stuff here.
Well,
so
then why don't
you want to move on? We can move on.
We'll move on. Keep that because we'll probably go back to it when we need to fill time. So keep that handy. Keep that at your studio table there. And let's take another break, Todd, if you will, please. No, you know what? Hold that break. Hold that thought. Hold that break. And instead, let's play Uncle Jesse or Uncle Jesse. Now, let me explain the game in case you were drunk. And I drunk during the 90s and in the 70s and 80s. The first Uncle Jesse we're talking about is the only one that counts, of course, in the Downing household. Okay,
Jesse Katsopoulos.
Jesse Katsopoulos. Is it Katsopoulos or Kestopoulos?
Katsopoulos.
Okay. It's a theme song. You want to sing it for us?
No.
Todd, the other song? Todd's sleeping again.
Full House is not the way to get his attention.
No, it's not. But it's going to be a fun game anyway.
I'm going to own him in this game.
You probably
call my shot.
You might. I'm going to do my best to trick you, though. We got to get to the chorus on this one time here. This is like the full version of the song. You don't get this in syndication. No. Here we go. And you know what's funny about this song, Matt, is just when you think it can't get any schmaltzier, there is another song that was on this show.
Oh.
And
this is Jesse's trying to be John Bon Jovi.
Yes, yes. They played it so much on the show. Go.
Forever.
Yeah. Such a
I gotta tell you.
Yeah. Tell me something.
I had a guy I graduated with that I swear to you, his life's goal was to be John Stamos.
Really?
Yeah, he was really into theater and acting. He was a big deal at our school. I think he's still out there trying to be John Stamos somewhere. No, not like John Stamos, the actor. I should say he's trying to be Jesse.
Jesse?
Yeah, he's okay. Trying to be that Jesse when he was trying to break it big with that his solo effort there. And he kind of got big in Japan, you know? That's what my friend in high school wants to be. I swear to you, he loved that song. He would talk about it all the time. He loved that song.
Oh, God. Oh, that song is brutal.
Yeah. That was his future goal.
You know what song doesn't suck is the other Jesse in our contest. Uncle Jesse.
Sounds so awesome.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Just a good old boy.
Hey, Todd, who sang this song? Better yet, let's not ask Todd. Let's not ask Todd. Let's ask Matt, who's really good with singers. Who sang this song?
Oh, Waylon Jennings.
Oh, my God. I'm shocked. Straighten the curve.
I know my country music.
I'm impressed. That's right, you do. What's Waylon's son's name?
Shooter.
Very good. Okay.
He's awesome.
Yes, he is. Let's hit the chorus here. Making their way.
Making their way. The only way they know how.
So, Uncle Jesse was played by... I'm going to ask you, Matt. Who played Uncle Jesse in the original Dukes of Hazzard?
I don't know.
I wonder if Todd knows. Todd, do you know who played the original Uncle Jesse?
Yeah? I seem to have forgotten that.
Okay. His name was Denver Pyle.
That's it.
Yes. Yee-hoo. All right. So Uncle Jesse versus Uncle Jesse. I'm going to read a quote from the TV shows. One of the TV shows. You're going to tell me, was it Uncle Jesse Duke? Or was it Uncle Jesse? Is it Katsopoulos or Kestopoulos? Because
why don't we just say Sucky Jesse for
Jesse Stamos.
Whoa.
Was it? Whoa.
Katsopoulos.
That's what
Sucky
I thought.
Sucky Jesse.
So let's start here. Okay. Here's the quote. Which Uncle Jesse said the following? Because if I don't, I'm going over there to straighten him out myself. Was that Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos? Again, because if I don't, I'm going over there to straighten him out myself. Which Jesse do you think that was, Matt?
This you've already started the Brad Westmar mind games.
Yes, I have.
With me. Because it sounds like something Uncle Jesse from the Dukes of Hazzard would say.
Okay.
So you want me to guess Uncle Jesse from Full House.
It's Sucky Jesse.
But I'm going to double back and say it's Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay. You think it's so you're doubling back and think it's Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard. So you think I'm using reverse psychology on you.
Yes.
Okay. What do you think, Todd?
Sucky Jesse.
You think it's Sucky Jesse? Well, Sucky Todd is right.
Oh,
it is.
I'm smarting myself.
It's
already.
Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos. Yeah, you're thinking too much, Matt. You're thinking too much.
Let's, clear my head.
Let's try again. Let's try again. Here is another one. Who said this? Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos? Elmer, don't you ever check the bathroom before you lock up? What's the matter with you? Who said that, Todd? Uncle Sucky Jesse or Uncle Jesse Duke?
Let's say Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse Duke?
Yeah.
Okay, he's apparently not Sucky Jesse. Which one do you think it is, Matt? Elmer, don't you ever check the bathroom before you lock up? What's the matter with you?
Jesse Katsopoulos.
Matt, you are correct. You did not think yourself. Very good.
Can I tell you the episode?
Please do.
Is that the one when they get locked in the service station?
You know what?
On DJ's birthday?
Honestly, I have no idea. I have not a clue. I really don't know.
Give myself extra credit for
that. I'm going to give you. Yeah, that was pretty good, man.
I'm a boy.
Here's the next one. Here we go. Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Sucky Jesse? What I'm about to do, I don't want. What I'm about to do, I don't want to remember a lot of it. Was that Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos, Matt?
Jesse Katsopoulos.
You think it was Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos. What do you think, Todd?
Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse Duke, you think?
Yeah.
Matt, you are wrong. Oh. Sucky Todd is correct. It's Uncle Jesse Duke. Yes. I think, do you have all these on DVD, Todd?
No.
Okay. Moving right along. Uncle Jesse or Uncle Jesse? Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos? Here's the quote. Why don't we just finish what we started? We lose our place now. We'll have to start all over with all this junk. Was that Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos? Why don't we just finish what we started? We lose our place now. We'll have to start all over with all this junk. Who was that, Todd?
Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse Duke. Okay. Which do you think, Matt?
That's Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos.
Boy, Matt, I got to tell you something. You're wrong again. Todd is the master. It's Uncle Jesse Duke.
This is like Georgetown going down in the first round.
This is not good at all.
Like the two seed going in the first round of the tourney.
It's like KU bowing out to Rhode Island. Okay, here we go. Another one. Jesse Duke or Jesse Katsopoulos? Quote, Christmas isn't about presents or Santa Clauses or cows. It's about a feeling. It's about people. It's about us forgetting about our problems and reaching out to help other people. Christmas doesn't have to happen in one certain place. It happens in our hearts. Todd? Wait, no, Matt. Matt first. Matt, Jesse Katsopoulos or Jesse Duke?
That is way too corny to be a Dukes of Hazzard quote. It's got to be Jesse Katsopoulos.
What do you think, Todd?
Sucky Jesse.
Sucky, you are both correct. That is Jesse Katsopoulos. Very good. He's Greek. All right, next one. Here we go. Besides, my big toe's been hurting. And when that big toe hurts, that means trouble. Who said that? Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos? Todd.
Let's go with Sucky Jesse.
Sucky Jesse. What do you think, Matt?
That's Uncle Jesse Duke.
Uncle Jesse Duke, it is.
That was too easy. I was going to guess that, but it's too easy.
Yes.
I finally missed one. Here we go. Let's move right along. Most stars never get to be as big as you are right now around here. Was that Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos, Matt? Most stars never get to be as big as you are right now around here.
That's Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos talking to Joey about his comedy career.
Okay.
Bing!
That's, okay. And what do you think, Todd?
I knew it was Sucky Jesse.
Boy, you're both wrong! That was Uncle Jesse Duke talking to Daisy.
Oh, Lord.
I even had the clip of that I could have played. Yeah. Gotcha.
You did get us that time.
Gotcha that time. All right. Let's go. A couple more here. Got three more. Quote, the deal's off. I want my money back. Was that Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos? Todd, you begin.
Sucky Jesse!
You think it's Sucky Jesse. What do you think, Matt?
It's a vague quote.
Yeah, it is. The deal's off. I want my money back.
I got to make up some ground, Brad. Uncle Jesse Duke.
You think it's Uncle Jesse Duke? Matt, I'm really disappointed in you. That was Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos. It was some kind of a entertainment deal or music deal or something going on there in that episode. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the worst of my life.
Here's another one for you. Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos or Uncle Jesse Duke, all rules have exceptions to them. Yes, it's very general. It's very vague. All rules have exceptions to them. What do you think, Matt?
Uncle Jesse Duke.
Uncle Jesse Duke. What do you think, Todd?
I'm going with the Dukes.
You're both wrong. It's Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos again. Whoa.
I don't even care anymore.
Bad hair.
You're getting pretty sad. Sorry, Matt. Last one, your chance. Your chance to redeem yourself with the last one. Todd, we'll start. Wait, who do we start with on this one? Todd. Here's the quote. No, there's some things a man's got to learn for himself. I guess this is one of the more important. Who was that? Uncle Jesse Duke or Uncle Jesse Sucky? Todd.
Sucky Jesse.
Sucky Jesse. Okay, what do you think, Matt?
Jesse Katsopoulos.
I am so impressed. You got the last one right, Matt. That's right.
Hey,
wait a minute.
Can I guess the episode?
Wait a minute.
What?
I'm sorry, Matt. I pushed the wrong button. I hit you. I'm sorry. No, you're wrong. Todd's right. I am terrible. Which episode did you think that was from?
It doesn't matter anymore. I thought it was the episode where Uncle Jesse jumped his motorcycle. He was about to jump his motorcycle off the roof.
Now, you know what? That was a good guess. But no, I'm sorry. It was Uncle Jesse Duke. It was Uncle Jesse Duke. Yeah. You're not happy about this.
Wow, game. I don't know what to say.
I don't know.
I don't know what to say, Brad. We didn't come to play today.
I know.
I'm really disappointed in our effort. Thought we had a good week in practice this week, but evidently it didn't carry over to the field. And, we got a lot of stuff to work on for next week.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly why we don't do sports bites in locker rooms or after games, because they're so boring. They say the same damn things. It's a bunch of cliches. Matt, let me tell you what you should say after that game.
Down.
That's exactly what you should say. It's unfortunate, but I got you again on the game. I'm sorry.
What else is new? I thought this was going to be my shining moment, Brad. I still think if I nail that one with the one being them trapped in the service station, I'm going to watch that episode before next week. And if I got that right, I should be declared the winner.
Whatever, get out of here.
I feel for you. I feel you, dog. I'm sorry. It's just the way it goes. Next week, though, on the show, if I get time, I'm going to try to bring something back that everybody liked so much when we did it the first time. Can you remember what that was?
That was the bigger hit show, right? Or the game.
It was exactly that game, yes. And I'm going to try to bring it back next week for you because I know everybody liked it so darn much. So, okay.
You know what's sad?
What's sad?
I don't know if sad or cool is the way to put this, but I was driving in the car yesterday listening to the radio, and a few came on. I'm like, I wonder where that charted. That'd be a good one for Brad's game.
I've got a book that can help you with that.
Do you?
I do. Cool. I do. Hey, would you like to give us three things?
Sure.
Do it.
Number one, Brad's description of himself drinking Diet A&W root beer sounds disturbingly like the premise for a Whitesnake video.
Oh, yuck. Yeah.
Number two, root beer floats and bro hugs. And number three,
like it.
Worst showing by Magic Matt ever.
I'm very sad, very disappointed, but I know you're going to redeem yourself next week. I know Todd's so proud of himself, he doesn't even watch Full House, you know?
I hate that show.
It's crazy.
Todd is a ringer. What can I say?
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But hey, Matt, you'll always have a chance to redeem yourself.
Used to boof to that show.
Oh, Full House is on. Let's do it.
That's right.
Exactly. Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody out there in Westmar Nation. Got lots of things planned over the spring and summer. If we have spring. If we don't have spring, summer's here soon, I think. So, yeah. And listen to Todd squeak in there. You let him turn his mic on, and all you hear is him.
Crazy.
Call me crazy. So, Magic Matt, thank you for joining us, as always.
Hey, thank you. I promise next week I'm going to give 110%.
I thank you very much, Matt Castle. Todd Sheets, our executive producer in the Batcave, thank you as always, and we appreciate you sleeping during the show. I am Brad Westmar saying thank you for joining us. We appreciate you listening. Always drop us a line at brad@bradwestmar.com or send us a tweet or a Facebook or a voicemail at our phone number that's listed on bradwestmar.com, whatever, blah, 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 blah. We enjoy having you here. Thank you, and good night.